Good morning, everyone. This morning I will be closing out my sermon series in the book of Joshua, and today's sermon verse will be taken from Joshua 23, verse 11, and it reads, "Therefore, take careful heed to yourselves that you love the Lord your God." By way of intro, when people in high positions leave office or are retiring, they tend to leave what is known as a farewell address. In this chapter, Joshua, he is dying and nearing the end of his life, so he decided to gather all the leaders of Israel together and give a farewell address of his own. So I want to begin reading in Joshua 23, starting in verse 3. It reads, "You have seen all that the Lord your God has done to all these nations because of you. For the Lord your God is he who has fought for you. See, I have divided to you by lot these nations that remain, to be an inheritance for your tribes from the Jordan with all the nations that I have cut off, as far as the great sea westward. And the Lord your God will expel them from before you and drive them out of your sight, so you shall possess their land as the Lord your God promised you. Therefore, be courageous to keep and do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, lest you turn aside from it to the right hand or to the left. And lest you go among these nations, these who remain among you, you shall not make mention of the name of their gods, nor cause anyone to swear by them. You shall not serve them, nor bow down to them, but you shall hold fast to the Lord your God, as you have done to this day. For the Lord has driven out from before you great and strong nations, but as for you, no one has been able to stand against you to this day. One man of you shall chase 1,000, for the Lord your God is he who fights for you as he promised you. Therefore, take careful heed to yourselves that you love the Lord your God. Or else, if indeed you do go back and cling to the remnant of these nations, these that remain among you, and make marriages with them, and go into them, and they to you, know for certain that the Lord your God will no longer drive out these nations from before you, but they shall be snares and traps to you, and scourges on your sides, and thorns in your eyes, until you perish from this good land which the Lord your God has given you. Behold, this day I am going to the way of all the earth, and you know in all your hearts, in all your souls, that not one thing has failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spoke concerning you. All have come to pass for you. Not one word of them has failed. Therefore, it shall come to pass that as all the good things have come upon you, which the Lord your God promised you, so the Lord will bring upon you all harmful things until he has destroyed you from this good land which the Lord your God has given you. When you have transgressed the covenant of the Lord your God, which he commanded you, and have gone and served other gods and bowed down to them, then the anger of the Lord will burn against you, and you shall perish quickly from the good land which he has given you." So Joshua's farewell address wasn't a happy, look how far we've come type of speech, but more a realization of where the Israelites stand in their present condition, and he warns them to take heed of themselves. To take heed of yourselves means to pay attention, to guard yourself, because things in this world can drag you down, deceive you, stunt your spiritual growth, and even cause one to fall away from God. It happened in Joshua's time, just as well as it happens today. So to be consistent with Joshua's address, today's points of application will be focused around separation. First point of application is to take heed of yourselves concerning evil associations. Second point is you are the company you keep. First, take heed of yourselves concerning evil associations. Now, at this point in time, the land of Canaan wasn't fully possessed. There was still a remnant or pockets of Canaanites living in the land. And God was willing to cast the rest of the Canaanites out of this promised land, but this eventually would happen over a span of time. So Joshua warns the Israelites, in other words, to be steadfast and not settle, or to ease up following God's command to dispose of the idolatrous nations within. Just consider, whenever something is not completed, it sticks out. Think of any home projects you may have started but not finished. Don't they stand out? Well, in this case, the wickedness and evil stood out in God's promised land. The worship and religious practices to pagan gods, they stood out. And here's an example of pagan practices found in 2 Kings 17:17. It reads, "And they caused their sons and daughters to pass through the fire, child sacrifices, practice witchcraft and soothsaying, and sold themselves to do evil in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger." My friends, consider how evil stands out today as well, and how evil influences are affecting our kids at an early age. For instance, all across America, in public libraries, drag queen story hour is being held. Why do we even subject our kids to this stuff? A church sign once stated, "If we want God to bless America, stop legalizing sin." What the devil is trying to do, what he's trying to achieve through a worldly influence, is to replace Christ with evil, to take what is immoral and make it moral. Numbers 33:55 reads, "But if you do not drive out the inhabitants of the land from before you, then it shall be that those whom you let remain shall be irritants in your eyes and thorns in your sides, and they shall harass you in the land where you dwell." So the bottom line is, if the Canaanites weren't fully removed, and their evil influences could influence the Israelite lives. The Israelites could be in danger of apostasy, which is falling away because of a conscious rejection of God's truth. Well, there is no partiality with God, so the Israelites would be under the same punishment as the Canaanites if they decided to follow the pagan ways. At that time, the Israelites had the book of the law of Moses to guide their walks. And today, we have God's truth, which is revealed in His Word, the Bible. Proverbs 4:14 reads, "Do not enter the path of the wicked, and do not walk in the way of evil." So let's look at some instruction concerning separation. The first point is, believers are called into the world and not avoid it. In the book of John, it records a prayer that Jesus prayed to the Father concerning his disciples. I want to take you to that. It's in John chapter 17, and I'm going to read verses 14 through 18. Jesus said, "I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. As you have sent me into the world, I also sent them into the world. Friends, we can anticipate and look forward to Christ's return. But in the meantime, believers are encouraged to continue our relationships with the world around us. We are not to shut ourselves out from the world, but to be mindful to live in a way that brings glory to God, not simply blend in with the culture, not to conform to worldly ways, but to remain true to God's ways. To be salt and light onto this dark world. The topic of separation can be a delicate balance, because God commands believers to be loving towards others, but at the same time, take heed to yourselves. So when you are faced with something in the world that is deemed good by worldly standards, ask yourself, does this go against what Scripture teaches? What you stand for, appeasing men or God? I shared a post on social media not too long ago that stated, I may lose friends over this, but the rainbow is a symbol of God's promise to never flood the whole earth again. It's not a symbol of the sins that provoked the flood. So as a Christian, don't wave the white flag and give up. We are to stand up for the truth contained in His Word. Romans 12, 9 through 11 reads, let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor giving preference to one another. Not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, which means passionate in spirit, serving the Lord. It's a Christian's duty to God, to self, and to others to stand up for what is good in God's eyes and reject what is not. Because if you just want to blend in, to keep peace with others, then you are giving a clouded testimony for others to see, and becoming a stumbling block for others as well. For example, in an interview, famous pastor Joel Osteen would not back up the scripture verse, John 14, 6. Where it reads, Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. The commentator asked about atheists who don't hold that view. And Joel's answer basically was, well, it's not for me to judge. I don't know their hearts. But Pastor Osteen also knows what that scripture states and needs to reaffirm it. His duty, as well as any believer, is to defend it. There is no other way to heaven except through Jesus. You see, Osteen became a clouded witness, not taking a stand on what that verse means. The reason was, most likely, out of fear of offending others, or trying to please everybody. Friends, there's nothing wrong with revealing God's love, especially when exposing the sins of the world. Romans 5, 8, but God demonstrates His love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. If we have the attitude, see no evil, hear no evil, then we're pretending it doesn't exist. If a healthy man is denying that he is sick, what does the doctor do? He shows him the test results. And for the people that deny their sin, lead them to God's truth and His holy law. Believers are called into the world, not avoid it. Second point of application is, you are the company you keep. 1 Corinthians 15:33 reads, do not be deceived. Evil corrupts. Evil company corrupts good habits. Friends, as a Christian, you may find that your circle of friends is getting smaller and smaller. Why is that? Because God has opened your eyes to the deception that is contained in this world. Before receiving the Lord Jesus into your life, a life pertaining to godliness, it simply wasn't on the agenda. Romans 3:10 and 11 reads, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks after God. So in fact, a life of rebellion to God was all we knew. And now that God has come into a believer's heart, ungodliness, it's easy to spot out. The Spirit leads us away from it. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the world. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. Finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. Friends, be aware of the people that you surround yourself with. They will either change you in two ways. They will bring out the best in you or influence corruption. The people you surround yourself with in the present will influence your future. You see, I was not fortunate to be raised in a Christian family. However, I was fortunate enough to have Christian friends. And I praise them, praise God, for using them to enlighten me. And you could be that Christian friend to lead others down the right path as well. You are made in the image of God. This means we are to reflect His attributes around others. Ephesians 4:24 reads, and that you put on a new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Again, you are the company you keep. Take heed to yourselves. If you have time, try this little experiment. Place a white rose in water and watch it bloom. And then, place that same white rose in a can of Coke. And watch within 24 hours what happens. That white rose turns black because of the negative toxins that are contained in the soda. The company you keep can darken your hearts as well. Proverbs 14:7 reads, go from the presence of a foolish man when you do not perceive in him lips of knowledge. Yes, it's our duty, the Great Commission, to try to win a person over to Christ. However, if you perceive nothing good coming out of that person's mouth, but bad influence, then avoid them. You see, all we can do is just plant the seed and leave the results up to God. He's the one who's going to do the work. He just used you as a messenger. Press on, my friends. The topic of separation can be difficult, especially around unsaved family members. However, we can't go around conducting ourselves like Pharisees, being afraid to go around unclean things, because none of us are perfect in any way. So let us exercise ourselves towards godliness and be like our Lord and Savior Jesus as He walked on this earth amongst the unclean. We all know that it is difficult enough trying to fight our own fleshly desires. But continually surrounding yourself with bad company, it definitely won't make your walk with Christ any easier. Proverbs 25:26 reads, "A righteous man who falters before the wicked is like a murky spring and a polluted well." So to reemphasize, as Christians, we don't want to give a clouded testimony. We don't want to be stumbling blocks for others. And in conclusion, separation should be a last result. Again, we are to go into this world and help people understand and realize their need for Jesus, their need for the only Savior. The degree of separation will vary according to circumstance. But friends, we must press on, dust off our feet, and continue moving forward despite the opposition. And again, trust God with the results. Let's all go before the Lord. Dear Lord, Heavenly Father, we just want to praise You. Praise You with all our hearts, Father. And thank You, Father, for what You have done, Your redemptive plan for us. Sending Your Son on our behalf, taking our sins upon Yourself to the cross, burying them so they are forgotten, lost, never to remember it ever again. Thank You, Father, for the assurance and peace You give each of us in our hearts to know that when we take our last breath, that we will be in Your arms, in Your heavenly kingdom. Father, we ask for Your guidance and Your strength to soften our hearts in this dark world where we see people or interact with people that don't hold our views. We ask You through the Spirit to give the right words to say and continue to try to be loving and affectionate towards these people. Again, separation is a last result. We just thank You, Father, for Your guidance and Your strength and helping us press on through the dangers that are happening in this world. We thank You, Father, for You upholding us with Your righteous right hand and leading us to Your truth. Thank You, Father. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.